Living a well-balanced lifestyle goes beyond ensuring your finances are in order. Welcome to Keeping the Well in Wealthy with Barbara Archer from Hightower. Barbara speaks with wellness industry leaders and related professionals to share more than financial planning advice. She addresses your questions about living a healthy lifestyle at any age. Learn how to gracefully maneuver life's challenges with support and resources to guide you along the way. Barbara and the team at Hightower help you make a plan, make an investment, and make a difference in your own wealth and well-being, and in your families, and within your community. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Well in Wealthy with Barbara Archer, sponsored by Hightower. Now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Barbara Archer, your host for Keeping the Well and Wealthy, where we discuss living a healthy lifestyle and offering support and resources to gracefully maneuver life's challenges at any age. Thank you for listening, and I'm excited to share some important information on heart health with you today. Did you know that heart disease is the number one cause of death? Every 33 seconds, one American dies from cardiovascular disease. That is about 700,000 people, and heart disease costs the United States about $240 billion each year. About one in five heart attacks are silent, and unknown damage is done, but the person is not even aware of it. My husband dodged one of those frightening moments by having an astute cardiologist noting that something just didn't look right on his EKG, even though he had been given a clean bill of health just 2 months before his complete physical. A stent opened his 95% blocked widowmaker, that's the left anterior descending artery, and he is alive and well today. So let's learn more from our guest, Dr. Kimberly Perry, so we can see how we can stay healthy and what to look for as signs that we might have a problem. Dr. Perry is the National Chief Medical Officer for Valor Healthcare, which provides community-based outpatient care to our veterans. As Chief Medical Officer, or CMO, Dr. Perry is responsible for clinical quality, medical efficiency, and clinical practice guidelines, and medical compliance for the company. She is a frequent speaker for the American Heart Association, and I've been privileged to hear her at the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women, their national movement to end heart disease and stroke in women. Welcome, Kim. Thank you for being here to help us learn more about our hearts.
Thank you, Barbara. It's a thrill to be here and share the news with everyone that we've made such strides with the American Heart Association's help in taking care of heart disease. We're thrilled.
Well, how did you come to focus on heart health?
In my background, I started as an emergency medicine physician, so saw a lot of heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, et cetera, that back then we had four things to do: morphine, oxygen, nitrates, and aspirin. And over the next 30 years, it's come full circle where we can now treat you and basically discharge within 2 days. When I started as a baby doctor, it was, you have a heart attack. I'm sorry. You're going to go to the ICU and we're going to see in a few days whether you survive, whether you're a cardiac cripple, or whether you walk out of here. That's not medicine. We needed to be more proactive. And so I wanted to get involved with all the studies, the clinical studies. I'm not a researcher in a lab. That's not my stitch. But throwing new ideas and innovation into the clinical world is what I really love. And to see the progress in 30 years that I've been practicing, I started when I was 12. But to see...
Hey, me too.
Yeah, right. To see the advances now where you come in for a heart attack, you stop in the ER just to get some demographic information and off you go to the cardiac cath lab, you get your stent like your husband did. And in a few days you're out and you're doing cardiac rehab and you're changing your life and you live long, long, long years. I can remember a story when I was working in the ER in the middle of a snowstorm and my son called me. He was about 6 years old and he said, Papa has a lump in his chest. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, well, we were sledding and he was coming up the hill and he said, I have a lump in my chest. And so my 6-year-old recognized that wasn't right. He didn't know what it was, but he knew that wasn't right. So he called me, 6 years old, and said, Papa has a lump. I said, bring him in. He actually had a heart attack. He ended up with bypass surgery. He was 64 years old, and now he's 89, and he's still driving me crazy. So,
oh, that's wonderful. Oh, what a great story. Oh my gosh, that lump in your father's chest. Tell me a little bit about what symptoms people might encounter if they believe they are having a heart attack or they think it's indigestion, whatever. Yeah. Give me some ideas here.
Yeah, well, not everybody reads the textbook and has crushing chest pain while they're smoking a cigarette, walking up a hill in the storm. That's the classic chest pain, heart attack patient.
I'm originally from Pittsburgh. Wait a minute. It used to be shoveling. Shoveling snow was the big one.
Shoveling snow is but we always had a picture of an old guy smoking a cigarette going up the hill with a sled. That was,
there you go.
That's a guy with a heart attack. Well, it's not that in reality, and it's many different things. You just have to be really astute to your own body and listen to it. You can have shortness of breath. You can have nausea. You can have arm pain, jaw pain. I've seen people come in to the emergency department and the nurses put them in the dental room because they have jaw pain and end up having a heart attack.
Oh my gosh.
It's just a mask singer, so to speak. I mean, it could be anything. We just have to really listen and have the experience to listen, like your husband's cardiologist. It may not be that the knowledge that we need, but it's the listening experience that we need. We need to listen to each other. We need to listen to ourselves, most importantly. Don't be driving in. Call 911. If you have indigestion, I'd be so happy. You come in by ambulance. I have no judgment there. I can send you home with some antacids and we're all happy. I would rather that than you drive in with a heart attack and God forbid something happens on the road or you don't get there in time and I can't salvage you.
So this is another incidence where we want to remind people, call 911. Don't be driving. Or I have a friend recently who was at an event and her husband called her because he thought he was having a heart attack. And she said, I can't help you. Call 911.
Right.
I'm like, really?
Right.
What's she going to do?
Yeah, that's typical. A family member will call another family member instead of calling 911 when they really need to. They feel that they don't want to abuse the system. Believe me, we are happy to take care of you if you think you're having a heart attack. I'd rather it be, like I said, indigestion or a true dental abscess and not be a heart attack. But if it is a heart attack, come to me soon so I can have a lot of things I can do to correct the situation, save your heart muscle so you don't become a victim or a survivor with cardiac disease.
So what is the difference between a heart attack and a cardiac arrest? Is there a difference?
Oh, definitely. That's a great question. I think of the heart very simplistically because the way I talk to my patients, I try to make them understand it either visually or understanding my words. There's an electrical system and there's a plumbing system, right? The heart's a pump and it's run by electricity. My dad was a plumber, so I had to get it to that level for him to understand. But I think it makes it really easy to understand. When you have a cardiac arrest, everything stops. Your heart is not beating at all. You're not breathing typically. So that's why we have to, Annie, are you okay? Call 911 and get the defibrillator nearby and just do chest compressions, hands only. No blowing in their mouth, none of that. Just get on their chest, hands only from your waist, not your elbows. Wait for 911 to come. If you have an AED, put the patches on, just like the machine says. You just turn the power on, it will tell you everything. Put the patches on and defibrillate them to get everything going again.
So the cardiac arrest is electrical, which is why that defibrillator.
It's actually both, but it is electrical because we could take electricity to re-stimulate the heart. And that's what the defibrillator or the AED does, is it pushes some electricity to sort of jumpstart your heart. It's like a dead battery in your car. You have
and
to have
the pumping
something
on the chest. That's the, for people that took CPR 100 years ago, it was blowing in the mouth and pressing on the chest. Today, it's just the constant pressure on the chest. Is that correct?
Hands only. Intermittent, hands only. 115 beats a minute. Staying Alive is a great, I'm older, so Bee Gees' Staying Alive is a great song. There are other Shakira, Hips Don't Lie. I mean, there's a bunch of different songs now at 115 beats a minute. You can go on the heart.org and get a list of the songs. It's great. You can help me save your life or your loved one's life, because if you get action early, this is time sensitive. Seconds count. And we want you in the cath lab with a stent in that artery that's blocked if you're having a heart attack within 90 minutes. Not a lot of time.
Wow.
And if your heart stops, the sooner you get it going, some people wake up right then and there.
What are some of the risks for heart disease?
There are many, unfortunately. So you have to know your numbers. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, high blood sugars, high weights or body mass index. All of those things can very much help you have a heart attack or have heart disease. Basically, what a heart attack is your pipes, your arteries in your heart that feed blood to keep it going and to pump the blood throughout your body. The highway or the pipe gets clogged and the blood can't go through. And that's what we're talking about with your husband and his LAD, the Widowmaker. It's the largest vessel that feeds the muscle of the heart. And if that gets blocked, you die. And that's why they call it the Widowmaker. But your husband and your cardiologist were astute enough to say, hey, there's something fishy here. Let's go get it checked out. And it ended up as a great story. And that's what we want to hear is more great stories. The American Heart Association has worked for over 100 years now, right? 1924 it was started.
Right.
At least in my 30 years, it's been dramatically different. The time where you just came into the ER and we didn't have a whole lot to do other than symptomatic treatment to time now where we have stents, balloons, medications, surgery, robotic surgery, so many different things that can help save you with a heart attack or a cardiac arrest. A heart attack is the blocking of the plumbing. Cardiac arrest is a complete standstill. That's the major difference.
Well, thank you. And then I've had friends talk about arrhythmias. So tell me a little bit about arrhythmias.
So
to me,
that
just sounds like things aren't pumping normally.
Arrhythmias, it's a huge word, but basically our heart is supposed to pump 1-to-1. So we have the top part of the heart and the bottom part of the heart. The top part is the atria and the bottom is the ventricle.
Okay.
So it should be 1-to-1. When you have an arrhythmia, the drummer is off beat. So you could have the top part, which is an atrial arrhythmia or atrial fibrillation, and it's going very fast, but the bottom part is still doing its one. So it's bump, 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 bump. If you have a ventricular arrhythmia or a regular heartbeat, that's more dangerous. As you go from the top of the heart to the bottom of the heart, the worse the prognosis is. For a ventricular arrhythmia, it would sound like this. Bump, 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 bump. Sounds almost the same if you record it and play it back and forth, but it's the bottom part of the heart that can't pump out. And when the bottom part of the heart can't pump to your body, you don't get any blood supply. Blood carries oxygen. You don't get any oxygen. It's a fatal arrhythmia. So that's why when we talk about ventricular arrhythmias, they're much more severe. I'm not saying that the atrial ones aren't hard to treat and need to be treated right away, but bump, bump is what you should be hearing and feeling.
So they might be able to feel it lying quietly in bed and they feel a flutter. Is that something that can sometimes just go away?
Yes. So there are flutters in the heart. Atrial flutter is one of them, where the top part beats a little fast and the bottom part does its single beat. And that can go away. Sometimes we have too much caffeine, too much stress, too much endorphins. If you run a marathon, even very healthy people can have that. And it can go away. You take away the caffeine, the nicotine, the excitement phase of your body, rest, and that can go away. The problem with it is if it does stay, when you have a chamber or a balloon full of blood tends to clot. If it's staying in there and it's not pumping its full amount out to the bottom part of the heart, what happens? All these clots form in the top part of the heart. And then it pumps out, goes to the bottom. And where do the clots go? To your body, to your heart. You could have a blood clot in your leg. You could have a blood clot in your brain. You could have a blood clot in your heart. Those things are very problematic. And that's why people need quote, blood thinners and other medications to help them not get a clot.
So some of the treatments might be blood thinners. What kind of arrhythmia would require a pacemaker?
So a pacemaker generally is used for an electrical system that's just getting old or failing for whatever reason. Your light bulb starts to flicker. That's when you need a pacemaker. So the electricity is going through, but it's getting frayed. The path is getting difficult. So your heart rate becomes very slow and you pass out. So that's why a lot of people will need pacemakers to keep their heart rate up so that they don't pass out. And it helps get blood flow to the rest of your body as well. I mean, the heart is the center of your being. You have to have that working in order to sustain life.
We hear about diet and exercise being so important on our heart health, but is an arrhythmia, as you mentioned, the light flickers, or there is an age issue, is some of that hereditary or age related?
It can be both. Most of the time it's age related, but many times it can be genetics. So if someone in your family has a pacemaker, defibrillator, or someone has died at a very young age from heart disease, that makes you at much higher risk. And when you do feel these symptoms, you should talk to your primary care physician or your cardiologist or both and see what the next steps are. We have, again, in 100 years, it's been amazing to see what we've done with the American Heart Association and all the research. We used to just put you on aspirin and eventually you had a stroke or you had a blood clot to your lung and you passed away. Now we have electrical physiologists who actually are the electricians of the heart. They can get in there with ultrasonic waves and actually fix the circuitry in your heart so that you can live life. And many people don't even need aspirin or blood thinners after that, which is a blessing because when you're on blood thinners, wow, you have to be very careful. You don't injure yourself and sure, you bleed. So,
what role does stress play in heart disease?
Stress plays in your health overall from your head to your toe, right? But specifically in heart disease, stress can cause you to have high blood pressure. It can cause you to have that flutter in your chest. And it can also cause you to have a sedentary lifestyle. You become withdrawn. You become very isolated. And all those things, your heart is a physical thing, right? But it also is connected to your mind, body, and soul. So it's a whole person kind of outlook on health. And when you're stressed, you need a way to relieve that stress in order to be healthy. I like to go for a run or get on my Peloton bike and have some lady scream at me to do more reps. That's stress relief in a weird sort of way, but everybody has their own stress, whether it's meditation relief, it could be exercising, it could be meditation, it could be reading a book, or it could be just simple deep breathing exercises. Any of those things can help.
Excuse the interruption. I know you're listening to Hightower's Keeping the Well and Wealthy podcast. But if you have questions related to these or other wellness and financial issues, please reach out to your advisor or go to hightoweradvisors.com to find a financial advisor near you. Now, back to Barbara.
What advice might you give to someone newly diagnosed with a heart condition?
Learn, learn, learn. Educate yourself. When you go to your provider, ask them all the questions. Write them down before you go. Write your family's questions down before you go. Be prepared and take action. Change your lifestyle if you need to. And it's not easy, Barbara. I mean, everybody knows that when January comes around, everybody's going to lose weight and they're going to exercise every day. And by January 15th, it's all out the window, right? This is a lifestyle change. So I'd rather you do a little bit at a time to make it more of a habit, a good habit. So stop the smoking and go for a walk. Stop not exercising and park further away from the grocery store. Whatever little steps that you can make, skip the elevator, do the stairs, whatever little thing you can do, make a commitment to do that every day, a little bit at a time. And you know, those endorphins start going and you start feeling better. And then you're like, I'm going to go for a longer walk today. Or it's a beautiful day. I'm going to park further away from the grocery store. I don't have that much to get. So it's all part of a lifestyle change that's very slow and purposeful. It's not something where you say, January 1st, I'm going to be the best shape of my life. It doesn't work that way.
So a step at a time.
One step at a time. And the most important thing is get moving. Whether it's moving your arms to start with, moving your legs, doing chair exercises, very simple things. Not everybody can go out and go for a run, but I'll tell you, you put your tennis shoes on and you get out in the fresh air. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. It's a beautiful place to be.
And the sunshine, that'll help with the stress too.
Yes.
Help lower that, getting some sunshine.
Absolutely.
So you've mentioned all of the advancements that have happened in the past 30 years. And are there some common misunderstandings, Kim, that we should clear up about heart disease today?
I think the biggest thing is to know your body, listen to it, and ask, seek help. Again, we were talking earlier, I'd rather you have indigestion, you come to the ER, and I send you home with a prescription, than you have a heart attack and don't come in because you're embarrassed, too busy. A lot of women, especially, are too busy taking care of everything else in the family. They need to listen to themselves. If you're short of breath, if you can't walk as fast or as long as you used to a month ago. That's a little clue that something may be wrong. Not everyone's going to have a crushing chest pain and sweating and all of that. It's going to be very slight, subtle things until you get to the critical point, right? These clots form very slowly, and then they build up until it's 95, 100%, and then you have a real issue.
Besides heart attack, what are some of the chronic heart conditions that someone might experience?
Sure. There are congenital heart issues where you have fluid in your lungs because your heart isn't pumping correctly. There's also, as you do have heart disease, you can develop congestive heart failure. That's a major chronic condition here in the United States. Again, your heart is not pumping effectively because it's had damage to its muscle. So when a balloon kind of gets deflated and it's not as tense as it used to be, it can't squeeze and pump that blood around. So what happens is it backs up. The fluid backs up into your lungs and you get congestive heart failure. That's what I call a cardiac cripple, right? They can't move as fast. They have swelling in their legs. They have stasis ulcers in their legs. You've seen them. They're red, rosy, purple legs that are very swollen. That's fluid overload because the heart is not doing its job. And that's a terrible way to live. And that's what we want to try to prevent. But that's one of the most common heart problems that is chronic.
Is that genetic or is that something people can try and avoid through diet and exercise, or what causes that?
Well, myself, I have a genetic high risk because my dad had a heart attack, right? So it's already in my genes and I can't change that. We haven't learned how to change that yet, but I can modify my diet. I can control my blood pressure. I can exercise it frequently. I cannot smoke or vape or smoke marijuana or cigarettes.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up vape.
Yeah.
People often think that's a replacement for smoking, but it's still
not at all.
Smoking.
The only replacement to smoking is either not smoking or what I used to tell my patients when I was in the ER, get a straw, cut it to the size of a cigarette and just have it in your hand. It's more of a hand-mouth fixation than it is the actual nicotine dependence that we have. So that's what they would use to quit smoking. But that's a
great
choice.
Any other ideas like that? Very clever. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's no medication at all. I mean, the patches and things, talk to your primary care provider. There's a million different prescriptions out there to help you. Again, if you cut it in half and then half it again, I'm not telling you to go cold turkey. It's very difficult. I'm not a smoker, never been, but I've seen people try to do it cold turkey and it's very difficult. So talk to your providers. There's medications, there's all kinds of tricks. There's mind over matter tricks that we can teach you to avoid a very nasty habit like that. It's very expensive. It's very devastating. It just doesn't cause heart disease. It wreaks havoc throughout the body and there's no purpose in it. So let's just quit it, right? And buy a new pair of shoes every
smoking.
Month.
Anyway, yeah, there you go. Now we've got priorities set. That sounds better.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to divert from this, but when I heard you speak at the American Heart Association for Go Red for Women, you also mentioned stroke. Could you tell me what is a stroke and how can it be identified?
Absolutely. There's two types of strokes. There's a bleeding stroke, and then there's a lack of blood stroke. So the lack of blood stroke is very similar to a heart attack. The pipes in the brain, the main pipes that feed the brain blood, get blocked by a clot or by disease. The buildup from high cholesterol, all that junk that goes into the pipes gets corroded and blocks off blood supply. That's one type of stroke. The other type of stroke is a little bit more serious because we don't have as many tricks for this, but it's a bleeding stroke. So if you have high blood pressure and you don't take care of it, there's a release valve in your body. Well, it's in your brain. So if the pressure gets high, that release valve is going to open and you're going to bleed into your brain. And that's very devastating because that's very difficult to reverse. The one that you have a clot in your pipes to your brain, that's easier. I say that now 30 years after I started practicing medicine, because when I started practicing medicine, it was a death sentence. You had a stroke, you went to the ICU. If you survived, you went to rehab. And if you could get out of that, you probably went to a nursing home back then. We didn't have the treatments that we have now. Now, if you recognize the symptoms very early, four letters, FAST, facial droop, arm weakness, slurring speech, can't get the words out right. And the most important thing is T, and that's the time it started. That's a critical message for us to say what therapy would be best for you with the time frame that we have. And if we can get you very early on, we can go in there just like we do with the heart, open up that vessel, like your husband had his LAD open. Mm-hmm. We can open up, you know, a meningeal artery or whatever artery it is, and boom, the blood is restored. That part of the brain will recover. It has a little bit of swelling at first, but it does recover. And even now in the emergency department, I've experienced complete recovery with patients with my own eyes.
Oh, that's within, very hopeful.
People within
need
an hour.
To understand that. Oh my golly.
It's a miracle. I mean, it just is amazing, but we have to get you early. A lot of times people don't come until it's too late to do those kind of fancy things.
So I want to just go back. If we're with someone, even if we don't recognize it ourselves, the word is fast, F-A-S-T. So the first is face. So if I ask someone to smile and one side of the face is droopy,
right,
that means there could be a problem.
Absolutely.
A is arms. So I would ask the person to raise both arms to see if they can
just
do
put them
that.
Out straight. And one will drift off.
And then S is speech. So we can ask them a simple phrase to hear if they slur or their speech sounds different.
Yes. You can even ask them, what is your name? And if I'm saying Kim, if I'm stuttering or having very difficult spitting it out when normally, you know, your name is your name, it right off the top of your head, right? So you could see the person struggling to get it out because they know what their name is. They just can't push it out.
And so T is time. So again, call 911, get that help right away, and you could have a fast and complete recovery.
So absolutely.
That T is time.
Yes.
So for ourselves, what might we be sensitive to, some symptoms personally? Whether us trying to come up with words might be one, but what about headaches or trouble walking?
A lot of times early strokes don't have all those symptoms, but definitely a headache means probably that your blood pressure is high. So that's another concern, especially if it's worst headache of your life, or you're very sick with it, or you are stumbling. That obviously those are signs that something neurologically is going on. But I'm telling you, those basic four things, look in the mirror, raise your arms. You'll know that you can't. I heard people say they have to use their hand to keep their arm up.
Oh, golly,
that's a sign of a stroke.
That would be.
And their speech, and they get frustrated, and that's when they just call 911. And even if they can't speak on the phone, call 911. They can ping the cell phone tower. They can find out where you are, and EMS can come get you.
Again, if someone has high blood pressure, they really need to keep that under control, keep taking their medications, maybe lose weight. Other things they can do to bring down their own blood pressure?
Sure. Avoid stress or manage their stress. Even
stress
if it
again.
Is. Yeah, stress is always a key thing. You know, you always get worked up and your blood pressure goes up. Moving every day, just a little bit at a time, moving a little bit more every day helps. It's great if you can have a great diet and eat very healthy foods. Not always possible in a lot of areas, and a lot of people can't afford the healthy foods. If you can avoid the processed foods, that's wonderful. If you can have a little garden in your backyard, even here in St. Louis, we can do that. That's good. Very helpful as well. Taking care of yourself, taking care of your soul, your mind, your body, it's a whole package deal. And so if we can get that more regulated, more steady, these chronic conditions, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease will be less prevalent in our society. And let me tell you, we have a lot of work to do.
It is interesting when I've heard you speak, especially to a large room full of women, do have a tendency to slough off aches, pains, problems because they're busy chasing kids, dealing with parents, working crazy hours, and not that they want to be martyrs, but they seem to put everyone in front of themselves, don't they?
Right. It's in their DNA, right? It's that maternalistic approach to life. And I think guys, whether they're lucky or not, they have more prominent symptoms when they
so
get
they recognize
symptoms.
It.
Yeah. They recognize something's wrong. They may not recognize it's a heart attack, but they know something's wrong. And they're more likely, because of a female in their life, to get treatment because somebody is pushing them.
We encourage them.
Right? Sure. Someone is pushing them to do that with your partner, your spouse, your loved one. Listen to them and watch them too. You can spot it yourself and get help early. And that's the thing that us physicians want to partner with you. We want you to get prevention. That would be the key. If everybody could be great at prevention and diet and exercise, the world would be a wonderful place and we wouldn't need as many cardiac cath labs and things like that. But we do have the tools to fix you if something is going on, but it is time sensitive. So very important to reach out, call 911. Don't be embarrassed. We'll let you know if it's a heart attack or not. And then we can laugh about it if it's not. And if it is and you get better, we can laugh again too.
I love that. Let's keep laughing.
Yeah.
So Kim, this conversation has been so very helpful. So thank you for sharing your expertise on heart health. And we've slid in there a little bit more information about stroke.
Absolutely.
So here are a few major points I've learned from you today. You can have a heart attack and not know it. Some damage might be done, but we can help take care of ourselves with diet and exercise. And if you smoke, okay, everyone, we'll say it one more time. Stop now. And besides the common heart attack symptoms of chest pain or discomfort, we may experience a shortness of breath or nausea or back or jaw pain. So don't ignore that and do call 911. And remember FAST for stroke, face, arms, speech, and time. Again, time is of the essence. So 911. So Kim, my last question for you is this. How do you keep your well and wealthy?
First of all, I love the wealthy, the name that you have. I think it's a great name. You know, I have not as stressful as a job as I did when I was practicing clinical medicine and emergency medicine. So I do have more of a executive job. So it's less stress. So I did reduce that in my life because I wasn't feeling well when I was practicing every day. I don't smoke and I've never smoked, thank goodness. I do wine occasionally, but not very much. And I like to run to loud music. And I don't run fast, but I run long. And I just,
that's great.
Or bike on my Peloton bike when the weather is not so great. And in fact, I'm doing a 200 mile challenge in March for the Alzheimer's Association. So I'll be on
goodness.
My Peloton bike a lot. If you see me, it's Dr. Kim Perry.
Oh my goodness. Good for you. That's terrific. And an occasional glass of wine is okay.
Absolutely. Everything in moderation, with the exception of tobacco and marijuana and vaping.
Well, Dr. Kimberly Perry, we appreciate you joining us. Our listeners can go to our podcast notes for more information at the American Heart Association at heart.org and also find their podcasts on that site. So thank you for tuning in and listening to Keeping the Well and Wealthy with me as your host, Barbara Archer. If you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, please click the Subscribe Now button below. This way, when I come out with a new podcast, it will show up directly on your listening device. And we humbly ask you to share this podcast, rate it, and leave a review, as this actually helps others find the show. Again, thanks for listening today. From everyone at Hightower Advisors, this is Barbara Archer reminding you to go out in the world and make a difference. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Keeping the Well and Wealthy with Barbara Archer, sponsored by Hightower. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Hightower Wealth Advisors. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.
Hightower Wealth Advisors is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Some investment professionals may also be registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analysis, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Hightower Wealth Advisors and Hightower Advisors LLC or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions or results obtained from the use of this information. Hightower Wealth Advisors and Hightower Advisors LLC assume no liability for any action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced in the document. Such data and other information are subject to change without notice. This document was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors LLC or any of its affiliates. Hightower Advisors LLC or any of its affiliates do not provide tax or legal advice. This material is not intended or written to provide and should not be relied upon or used as a substitute for tax or legal advice. Information contained herein does not consider an individual's or entity's specific circumstances or applicable governing law, which may vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and be subject to change. Clients are urged to consult their tax or legal advisor for related questions.